in contested marine territory that Canada wants to claim for its own. But we're not out to referee a territorial dispute. The intelligence we've received indicates something unusual is going on in laboratories aboard the platform, evidenced by security so tight even the Red can't penetrate it. When a secret is that well kept, we assume it's dangerous, possibly an existential threat. So our mission is to approach in stealth, kick in the doors, take command of the facility, and determine what is being hidden there. We call this kind of assignment a look-and-see mission. We've done two others in recent months. Both turned out to be illicit drug labs, which is not something we'd ordinarily go after, but that's the risk of a look-and-see. I think we're being sent out repeatedly because the Red is searching for a specific operation. What that operation might be, I don't know. We're told to go look, and until we do, we don't know what we'll find. It could be anything, from an insurmountable defense to an innocent operation. Logan gets a sour look. Like me, like all of us, he used to be regular Army. 9 months ago, he was part of a U.S. training force in Bolivia. His CO ordered the squad to accompany a local unit on an interdiction, which is just a kind of look-and-see. Logan had a bad feeling. He argued the intelligence was faulty. He was right. When the local unit kicked in the door, there were kids inside. No bad guys. They lit up the place anyway. I fucking hate look-and-see missions, he says with bitter sincerity. I want to tell him I hate them too, but what I say instead is, I'm going to wake the squad, be ready to take them through the mission plan one more time before we go. Our chain of command is simple. We have officers because someone has to be in charge, but we don't use designated ranks among our regular soldiers. It isn't necessary. None of them are here for the pay or the promotional opportunities. My focus shifts, picking out a half-seen, translucent icon floating at the bottom of my field of view. It's the command node for GenCom. My attention causes it to brighten, making it stand out from the icons around it, all of them part of the display projected by the optical overlay that I wear like contact lenses in my eyes. The icon offers me a menu, but I ignore it, muttering, "Send a wake-up call." My command initiates a signal that's relayed point to point to my soldiers. Every soldier in my LCS has an ocular overlay like mine, and every one of us also has a skull net, a mesh of fine wires implanted beneath the scalp that monitors and regulates brain activity. Each overlay receives my command and relays it to the soldier's skullnet, the simple AI that oversees the skullnet response, triggering a waking routine. There is no moment of transition, no confusion, no sluggishness. My soldiers awaken simultaneously with machine precision. Some stretch, some cough, but within 10 seconds, every one of them appears, sitting at the end of the bunks or standing in the passage, but all looking at me with an alert gaze, eager to learn our status. Logan takes over. "Piss and wash up. You've got 5 minutes, and then we're going to review roles and rules one more time." All of my soldiers in ETM 7-1 were officially killed in action or died of wounds, but death grants them no reprieve from the endless training and mission prep inherent to the Army, because their best chance of surviving a mission is to understand it all the way down to their bones. 70 minutes later, the sub's commander calls down from the control room to let us know we are 10 minutes from our designated drop.
"Holiday's over," Logan barks, "and goddamn about time. Suit up."
"Hoo-yah," Alex Tran proclaims, exchanging a fist bump with Thomas Dunning.